was a bunch of announcements. Hang on. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer as we get started. Lord, here we are, and God, I just want to put my hand on my heart saying, my heart is yours. Lord, our ears are yours. Our attention is yours in this time this morning, that you would speak to us and that you would, as your word says, open our eyes to see wonderful things in your word. Speak to us this day, we pray. Speak to the youth. Speak to the children as they meet also. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to speak with you this morning. I just want to talk with you this morning. We're going to look at the Christmas story at all the parts. Nothing new here. You'll know this really well. In fact, most of these verses you will probably know even without looking at them. And I'm going to go back to a verse that I highlighted a couple of weeks ago. It is also a little bit of what I shared this past Wednesday morning with the international pastors. When the pastor's prayer meets at a particular church, the pastor of that church will share the devotional, and the worship leader from that church will lead. So that's what we did this last Sunday. So I want to expand on that as we look at that this morning. And I want to go back to a verse that we know so very well. So a couple weeks ago, remember that we talked about this. This comes at the end of the shepherd's episode, the end of the shepherd's passage. And I told you that this has been resonating in my heart, right? It's really, I've just been, I have not been able to get away from it for this last month or so. It just keeps coming back to my mind, and I've been meditating on it, and I've been so blessed. And it reads, the shepherds returned. Returned where? Returned to the fields, right? They returned to their work. It would be nice to stay in the glory of God all the time, but we have work to do also. There are things that must be done. And so we receive from the Lord in those times of glory, and then we go out and we do the work that God has given us to do. And so the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. Just imagine what they had heard and imagine what they'd seen. They had heard an angel in the night sky making an announcement. The Bible doesn't tell us, but I'm pretty sure it was Gabriel. I'm pretty sure. Because Gabriel seems to be the angel that's making all of the announcements. Gabriel seems to be the heavenly messenger for God, doesn't he? Especially at important times. The sound of babies is the sound of life. Yay. Amen. Doesn't bother us at all. And so imagine what they'd seen and heard. Probably Gabriel, but we don't know. In the sky. And then the sky filled a multitude of the heavenly hosts. So I can only imagine what that must have looked like and sounded like. I love hearing Lighthouse sing. I love hearing Lighthouse sing. I really do. Just blesses me so much. But imagine what that heavenly host filling the sky. And then what they had also heard and seen, because they had seen the baby Jesus as well. And so I want us this morning, as we think about this, all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. I hope you can hang on to those words and let them speak to you and minister to you and encourage you, not only now, but in the time going ahead. What wonderful words. And this morning, I want to talk about, in light of Christmas, our promise maker and our promise keeper. Our promise maker and promise keeper. When we read the story of Christmas, it's the story of love and of a faithful God who is determined. He will keep, he's going to show love to people who are lost. He's going to show care to those who hardly know him. He's going to show he has not forgotten to people who are religious but have no life. But I see also, as we look at the Christmas story, that he is a promise maker and a promise keeper. And we see this throughout the scripture. In Luke 2:20, the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And this was the angel giving the message that God had given. And God had told the angel, maybe Gabriel, go tell them this. And the angel was faithful to give the message of God, and the shepherds obey, they go, and they see and hear exactly what they were told. And I just want to say to you this morning that the God then, the God of, pardon me for saying it this way, the God of Christmas, let me say it that way, the real God of Christmas, the God of Advent, is the same God for you and for me today. So let's look for this as we go through the story, and let's look at Joseph very briefly. We're going to look at some others in more detail. Joseph's part of the story is really found in Matthew, and if you have a question now, where exactly are the Christmas story? You'll find Matthew 1, Matthew 2, Luke 1, Luke 2. Really, both of those: Matthew 1, Matthew 2, Luke 1, Luke 2. And Joseph is sleeping. And he has a dream while he's sleeping. And in his dream, an angel comes to him. Which angel? Gabriel. Okay. And Gabriel says, Joseph, your wife Mary. Well, she wasn't his wife yet. They were engaged. But that was really serious, right? And he said, your wife Mary is going to have a child. Not welcome news when you're engaged and you haven't had any relationship yet. And he said, but don't be afraid. This child is from God. And then he says, we're going to look at this, but I'm giving you the background. And he said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. I've told you some of this before, haven't I? When my mom and dad got married, this was the verse that the Holy Spirit told my dad before they got married. His name was Steve. Her name, as you know, is Mary. They were in Bible school. They had barely spoken. They'd never had a date. They hadn't even gone out to eat together. They'd only been in a class together. They didn't know one another. And Mom thought Dad was so handsome. He was. He really was. When I looked at some of Dad's early pictures in his military uniform, I thought, wow! And Dad thought, but he was Brother Nolan, because it was a conservative Bible school, and she was Sister Miller. That was her maiden name. And Dad thought, well, she's really cute, but she's very... And Mom said, he's really handsome, but he's too serious for me, because Dad was really serious. He, as some of you know, Dad had become a Christian when he was after the military and in his 20s, and for him it was like, boom, straightforward. No turning to any other side, and he went to Bible school. He was serious. And so Mom had grown up in a Christian family, and so she was very strict. And so she got to Bible school, and she thought, ah, this is great. She loved Bible school so much. And so Dad looked at her, and he thought, well, she's cute, but not serious enough for me. She's kind of a butterfly, like that. And then God spoke to Dad and said, that woman will be your wife. They weren't in love. This is the side story. They weren't in love at all. Dad knew it was God. But he was really nervous about it, because he thought, we don't match, we don't fit. And the Holy Spirit had already called Dad to the Chinese people, but he didn't know anything about Mom. And the Holy Spirit told Dad as he was praying, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Exactly. Those are in the verses. If you look in Matthew 1, those are the verses that come right before that. Do not. I tell you what, that would help reassure you, wouldn't it? Do not be afraid. And some of you have heard that before, but Dad being Dad, he went to Mom and he said, Sister Miller, I need to talk with you. No date, no whatever. He was just going to say, God told us to get married. And Mom, when he said that, Mom said in her heart, she went, she knew what it was, because the Holy Spirit spoke to her at that moment. But she was like, wait. But anyhow, as you can see, it worked out. And when Dad went to heaven, they were just shy half a year of 70 happy years of marriage. Difficult times too, but 70 years of marriage. Amen? Yeah. Amen. But anyhow, back to Joseph. Okay? So Joseph wakes up. the angel has spoken to him in the dream while he was asleep. And then we read the writer Matthew writes this after the fact. Look with me at what it says. Now all this took place to what? Read it with me. Fulfill what was spoken. I'm sorry. Would read it with me, please. To fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Okay, so it happened to fulfill what was spoken. So we see it even here already. God makes a promise. He makes a promise in the prophet Isaiah. Do you know when this took place? Isaiah wrote 500 years earlier. How many of you have been holding on to a promise in your heart, a word in your heart, something that you think God has whispered to you, and you are still waiting for it to come to pass? You are still praying for it. You are still hoping it will happen, and it hasn't happened yet. Look to God, our promise maker, because our promise maker is also our promise keeper. And Matthew says, it took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Call him Emmanuel. It means God with us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we see this. And then Gabriel appears to Mary. And the same thing, she says, let it be to me according to your word. We'll look at Mary in just a minute. And then someone has to prepare the way. And so it's going to be a little baby that's going to be a miracle baby. And his name's going to be called John. But his parents are unusual, a little bit like Joseph and Mary, because they're really, really old. And Elizabeth, the wife, is unable to bear children. The Bible says she was barren, so there's one impossibility. And then the Bible also says they were both very, very old. They were both past the age of being able to produce life from their bodies. And so Gabriel also appears to Zechariah and it also says this is from the Lord. We talked about Simeon a couple of weeks ago, Simeon in the temple. Pastor Anil spoke about this last week, 40 days after the birth of Jesus, when they take him in. So this is just kind of by way of reminder. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. I want to ask you something this morning. Has the Holy Spirit, I really mean this, has the Holy Spirit revealed something to you? It's in your heart. It's on the inside. You may have told no one about this. I doubt Simeon had told anyone about this. I think he was probably, it doesn't indicate that he had a wife or a family. That I don't know, but it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. So here's the promise of God. Has God put a promise in your heart? Has God put a desire, a godly desire in your heart? Sometimes we think, well, I don't have a promise, but there is a godly desire there that has been birthed in heaven, not birthed out of your human desire. I want this, I want that. But in prayer, as you've waited in the Lord, he's put something in your heart, a godly desire, and it has not yet come to pass. I don't know when the Holy Spirit told Simeon this, maybe a long time earlier, we don't know. But he goes to the temple that day, and he took the child in his arms and praised God. There was the promise. And then he says, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace. What? As you have promised. The promise maker and the promise keeper. Hallelujah. So think with me this morning as we're going to look at in more detail at a few people now. Think about all of the promises of God. A prophet, Isaiah. Another prophet, Micah, as well, as we're going to see in just a minute. A dream. There's a promise in the dream. There's an angel, a promise from the angel, a promise in ancient scripture, a promise through the inner revelation of the Holy Spirit, a star in the night sky. All of these different voices, different manifestations, but one message, and all of them saying that the God who makes promises to you is the God who keeps promises to you. No matter how long, no matter how impossible, God is the same. God is the same. So we're going to look very briefly this morning at two pairs in the Bible story that are going to help us see this a little bit better. And the first, you may think, well, that's very unusual. We're going to look at Mary and Zechariah. Okay? We're going to look at these two and see this God who keeps promises. And we're going to learn something as we look at these two. So who's Mary? The mother of Jesus. Who's Zechariah? The father of John, who is the one who prepares the way. If you want to think about it this way, John is like a midwife. Maybe some of you had midwives when your children were born. It's someone who prepares for the birth. And John prepared for the birth of Jesus. John paved the way. Both of them miracle children. So, why am I putting Mary and Zechariah together? Let's look at it. And you may say, these two don't match at all. I think they really, really do. So here we have Mary and Zechariah. No doubt Mary's the youngest one in the characters of the Christmas story. No doubt Zechariah is one of the oldest. Simeon is old too, but Zechariah, because the Bible says he's very, very old. With Simeon, it just says, okay, he'll see Jesus before he dies. But the Bible says he's very, very old. So we have the youngest one and the oldest one. Both of them are half of a couple, right? Mary Joseph, Zechariah Elizabeth. Both of them, had you thought about this before? For both of them, impossible to bring forth life. Zechariah and Elizabeth, because she's barren and he's too old. Mary, because she has never had a physical relationship with a man. Now, Mary, we know, later went on with her husband Joseph, and had physical children, but they were not miracle children, were they? Jesus was a miracle child. So we have impossible to bring forth life. For both of them, Mary and Zechariah, it's a visit from Gabriel with a message from God, both of them, and both of them have a question. I don't know if you thought about that before. Have you? Both of them have a question. Okay, let's look at this together. Why don't we start with their questions, okay? Here's Mary first. Gabriel speaks to Mary. We know what he says. You will be with a child, and we know what he says. And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I have not been with a man?" Look at her question. Is there a heart that lacks faith? I don't think so. She just would like to know, well, God, how are you going to do this? Because I'm not with a man. I'm engaged, but I'm not yet married. And you've just said that I'm going to have a child. How's this going to happen? So that's her question. And the angel tells her this will be from God, the Holy Spirit. And look at Mary's reply. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me." Got it? Ready? Here we go. Here's our theme again. "According to your word." According to your word. Oh, brothers and sisters, that you and I might have the heart of Mary when he speaks to us. He puts something in our heart. Oh, that we might grab onto that, hold onto that, and say to God in the face of impossibility, "Yes, God, may it be according to your word. I hold on to this. I hold on to this." And so we see this in Mary. Okay, let's look at Zechariah. So here's Zechariah. Zechariah is a Levite. He's a priest. He is serving in the temple, even though he's very, very old. Look with me. Zechariah was in the sanctuary. An angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the incense altar. Now, those of us will know there's the outside part in the courtyard. There's the inside part, the holy place, and then there's the inner part, the Holy of Holies. Where's Zechariah? He's in the holy place, the inside part, and he's doing the duty that was done every day. Okay, ready? So he's there, and an angel of the Lord appeared. Zechariah was shaken, overwhelmed with fear when he saw him, but the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son, and you are to name him John." Okay, John. How does Zechariah respond? Look with me. We want to have the heart of Mary, but sometimes we have the heart of Zechariah, don't we? And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." One thing we do see is this. At least, husbands, please look. Zechariah is diplomatic, isn't he? He does not say, "She's an old woman." He diplomatically says, "She's advanced in years." At Lighthouse, we say, "I am now." You know, when we get older as well. But I want us to look at Zechariah's question, because the same thing that happens to Mary happens to Zechariah, and it's going to be a miracle child. Does Zechariah have the same question that Mary has? No, he doesn't. Zechariah is asking for a guarantee. How shall I know this? How do we know that Zechariah is asking for a guarantee? Because of what Gabriel says. Look with me. The angel said, "I'm Gabriel." I was thinking about this. You know that I'm American, and there's an American, I think other cultures may do this as well. But sometimes when somebody says something to us that we think is offensive, you know what, you'll see it sometimes in movies. They'll say, "You talking to me?" Have you ever heard that before? You know, "You talking to me?" I can almost see Gabriel. It's kind of what he does. He's like, "You talking to me? I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. He's the one that sent me for this message, who sent me to bring you this good news." You know what is so frustrating about Zechariah and for us sometimes? What does the angel say? I want to remind you what the angel says. God has heard your prayer. That's what's so frustrating about Zechariah. Zechariah was praying for this. Mary wasn't praying to be the mother of the Messiah, but Zechariah was praying for this. And the angel says, "But since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born." Here we go again. Here's our theme. Ready? "For my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time." Amen. Amen. I want you to look at this. My words will be fulfilled, certainly be fulfilled at the proper time. Zechariah asked in doubt, and he asked for a sign. I don't know if you've thought about this before, but in fact, the angel gave him a sign, right? How can I be certain? You're not going to talk for 9 months. Not a word is going to come out of your mouth. Some wives might say, "Woohoo, praise the Lord." Or some husbands might say that as well. But I was thinking about that. Who says that God doesn't have a sense of humor? I'm sure Zechariah wanted a sign like a halo or fire. And Gabriel says, "Yeah, you want a sign? Here's a sign." No words for 9 months or so. No words. And that's what happened. But I want you to focus on this. "For my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time." If God has made you a promise, He will fulfill His words at the proper time. He will. He will. I was talking with some of you this last year, some things that you had prayed for in your family for years and years and years. And through hard times, your family has brought, God has brought those things to pass in your family. I want to say one other thing as well. Our God, who is a promise maker and a promise keeper, it is not just special promises that God gives you outside of, "I'm going to do this." I want you to go to the Word of God and look at all of these things that God says in His Word to you. As we think about God, our promise maker and our promise keeper, Think for just a minute. Let's pause. If you're joining us online, I'm sorry, you won't be able to hear this. Can we just sort of share what are some of the confirmations of God's character and God's promise to us in His Word? Anybody, several people, what are some things maybe that really touch your heart? John. Okay, that's right. Jeremiah 29:11, such a good one. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. They are plans for good, not planned for evil, to give you hope and a future. Hope and a future. Yes, Lord, we believe it. Sister Lisa. Amen. Jesus said, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And if you're feeling alone and isolated this morning and on your own to face whatever it is, listen to the promise of Jesus again right now, this morning. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'll never forsake you. Someone else. Alistair. Okay, you will be saved, you and your household. That's in more than one place, but if you want to, that's also even all the way back in the Old Testament with Rahab, when they went into the room even, and they said, you stay in the room, you will be saved, you and your household. But also in the New Testament, right? Believe, you will be saved, you and your household, through the words of Paul. Amen, amen. You've been praying for a family member not yet saved, it's a desire, you keep praying. You will be saved, you and your household. Someone else. Ida.
He once spoke to me and said, do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in me and trust
us. Amen. Ida's giving, that's something that God spoke to her. And so often, God will whisper to us and illuminate for us the words from his word, right? And God said, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me. How many of you this morning, maybe even, your heart is troubled? Your heart is troubled. The word of God to you is, don't let your heart be troubled. The enemy comes. He will trouble your heart if he can. He will rob your peace if you can. And your God, your Emmanuel, here's the promise. I am with you always. I'm with you always. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be troubled. And so many more. Anybody else? Just one that's on your heart right now. Elizabeth. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. If we keep God first, if we go after him, all of these other things, the things that we have to have, God knows you have to have these things. He knows you need electricity and water and food and clothes and schooling for your kids and all of these other things. He will meet these needs. And Lisa, you had one more. That's right. He's preparing. He's gone ahead. He's preparing a place for us. Amen. 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 Our God is a promise maker, and our God is a promise keeper. Amen. Amen. So, as we look at this, and I think this was a good place to kind of look at these promises, we would like to have Mary's heart, but so often we have Zechariah's heart, don't we? How can this be? How can I know this? How can I whatever? And God, God often does not give us the things that we are looking for to, how can I make sure? God wants us to know, I'm making this promise, and your security, your confirmation, your surety is me. It's who I am. It's because I said it, and I'm the promise maker, and I'm the promise keeper. Amen. 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 I think that this part is so important here because you know what? If you look at a little bit later, Elizabeth, who is the wife of doubting Zechariah and the relative of Mary, when Mary goes to visit her, do you know what Elizabeth prophesies over Mary? Have you ever thought about this before? It's Elizabeth who says these words, inspired by the Spirit. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Blessed is she. I want to be blessed. I don't want to miss the blessings of God. Do you? I really don't. I really don't. And then very quickly, let's look at the other group that I think go together. I talked about this last couple of weeks ago, but look with me really quickly. Let's put the wise men and the shepherds together, and they show us something as well. Let's look at some of the similarities and some of the great differences. Both the wise men and the shepherd are groups, okay? And both of them have a promise in the night sky, right? Same type of promise. One is an angel in the sky and then a group of angels. And the other group, it is a star in the sky. We have seen his star. What was it? I could ask Kenneth and Letty, but we don't really know, do we? Was it a star? Was it a comet? Was it a whatever? We don't know. But the Bible says, not just we have seen a star, but we have seen his star. His star. So it was something special. Not everybody saw it, maybe. Not everybody could understand it. So both of them, a promise in the night sky. And then we have very, very different, most educated, probably the least educated. And we have the furthest to travel and probably the most local, the least traveled. They're just from the fields right outside of Bethlehem. But both groups, immediate belief and action, and both groups find a child at the end of their journey. So let's look at this very, very quickly. So encouraging. Here, we've read this before, but just a reminder. So after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east. We've come to worship him." It's months later, maybe even up to 2 years later. These are the last ones to arrive, and they go to Jerusalem, and they ask, because Jerusalem is the capital, King Herod asks the not-so-wise men, as we know, and this is what they say. They say, in Bethlehem in Judea, they said, here we go, here's our theme again. Ready? "For this is what the prophet Micah wrote." Micah and Isaiah were contemporaries, both of them, about 500 years before, and both of them give a prophecy. You should be encouraged this morning when you see the perfect timing and the perfect precision, right? Perfect timing. It reminds us God is in control of our circumstances, all circumstances, and he will bring things together. And then, so they say, this is what the scriptures say. Now, we go a little bit further. And look with me at this. After hearing the king, they went on their way, and there it was, the star they had seen in the east. It led them until it came and stopped above the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed beyond measure. The reason I made bold some of these other ones were because God gives promises in different ways. Sometimes he writes it in his word, but look with me here. In this time, God gives a promise through a star. It's still God's promise. It's just a different language. But the star was the language that these wise men from the east could understand. Sister Lisa and I think we're the only ones this past Thursday night to join the prayer with the Palestinian pastor. So encouraging. Incredibly encouraging. And you know what, Pastor Nader told us, he gave some beautiful, beautiful testimonies. I don't want to go into detail because I know there's some sensitivities, but what I can tell you is this. He is working among only Muslim people. He's only working among Muslim people. And what he said was so common was he would talk with them, with refugees, with these others, all Muslim, and they would have dreams and visions. And you know what they would say? When he would talk with them, then they would say, "Can you tell me about the man of white who has scars and blood on him?" And Jesus is appearing in dreams and visions to people who have never heard the gospel before, but it opens their hearts. So encouraging. And that what it reminds us is that when God makes a promise in a way that we can understand, God speaks to us in a language that reaches us. And he said, there's no problem with Muslims with dreams and visions because Muslims believe dreams and visions. They believe in dreams and visions. So when they have a dream or they have a vision of the man in white who had blood and scars on his hands, then they believe it. And nobody can tell them, oh, no, that's false. No, I saw it in my dream. I saw it in my vision. This was my experience. It's very similar to the wise men. They saw his star. And so they go on, and I want us to see this. I want you to see something as we look at this just before the next verse, and then we'll finish very briefly with the shepherds. They start rejoicing. Look with me. They go on their way. There's the star. The star is the promise. It led them until it came and stopped above the place where the child was. That's a special star. If I were to ask Kenneth and Letty, our local amateur resident astronomers, they would tell us stars don't lead people around all over the place, and they don't stop suddenly over a house. Is that right, Letty and Kenneth? That's right. It's a special star. But look with me, verse 10. This should say something to you this morning. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed beyond measure. Hang on. They haven't even seen Jesus yet. But their hearts accepted the promise as if it already had come into being. Can our hearts accept the promises of God to us, even if we've not yet seen? Because God is a promise keeper, and God's a promise. He makes promises and he keeps promises. May our hearts be joyful, as the wise men were. They hadn't even seen Jesus yet. And then look at what happens. Then, entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother. But they were already rejoicing. Thank you, Lord. You keep your promises. The star has stopped. We know that we will find in this house the one who has been born King of the Jews. We know we'll see it. And they entered the house, and falling on their knees, they worshiped him. But they were already worshiping outside in joy and in expectation. We know that the promise is through those doors, and we know it will come to be. May God give us, may we encourage and nurture and develop the hearts of the wise men, right? Even though we have not yet seen. Okay, let's finish with the shepherds very, very quickly. Ready? Here we go. We've already read this. When the angel had left them, the angel had said, "This will be a sign to you." Oh, I wanted to tell you more about the wise men, but we don't have time. Another time we'll talk more about the wise men. We're going to keep on going right now. But that last part's wonderful too. So we end with the shepherds. The angel has said, "This will be a sign to you, good news to you, to all people." Praise the Lord. The wise men weren't even Jews. The king that was born wasn't even a Jew. But they said, "We've seen a star, we've come to worship him." Do you know why they had hearts of worship? Because the angel had said, "This is good news which will be for all the people." God excludes no one. No one. This will be good news for all the people. And it was for them. And when they had left and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened." Here we go. Here's our theme again. "Which the Lord has made known to us." Do you see that the wise men and the shepherds have the same heart? No question. "I hope we can find the baby. I know he said this, but you know, wow, this is hard to believe." No, let's go and see what we have been told, what we've been told. We know that he will be there. And they go off, and they hurried off. Here we go, sorry. They hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. They already knew they were going to find it. Why? Because they believed God. God made a promise, and God kept the promise. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And then we end. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. We don't want to miss the miraculous, do we? The promises of God to you, he will keep. If you're like Zechariah this morning, reach down in your heart. Pick up that dusty prayer that you have stopped praying because it's been so long and the answer hasn't come. And lift it again to God in hope and in faith and belief. And say, "God, you made this promise. And God, you are my promise keeper. I see it in Jesus. I see it in his birth. you keep the promises that you make in your perfect time. Amen. Let me pray for you as we close this morning. Amen. Lord, we thank you. You are a promise maker and you're a promise keeper. We see that as we look just at this one part of Scripture of Jesus when he came to earth and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God, I pray that as your people have heard your words today, that they would be encouraged. They would be encouraged that every promise is yes and amen in you, and that specific promises they have spoken to your heart, to their hearts, Lord, that you will bring it to pass in your time. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.